This wave of prayer has gone up over these past 10 days. We started on Ascension Day, 10 days ago, Ascension Day. And this is a day when we remember and celebrate the ascension of Christ. We remember how he first descended to earth and then to the cross and then onto the grave, then in the grave where he overcame every force of hell. But then he ascended. Firstly, back to earth, where he appeared to many and taught his disciples about the kingdom of God. He taught them about the reality and the implications of what he had achieved in the grave. Read about this in Acts 1, Luke 24. And we read how there he ascended even further. Then Jesus led them to Bethany, and lifting his hands to heaven, he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. So they worshipped him. And then returned to Jerusalem filled with great joy. And they spent all their time in the temple praising God. And what this means is that now, as we speak, as we stand here today, he is seated at the right hand of the Father. And what we read in the Bible is that he's made the enemies his footstool. He's made his enemies a footstool. And he has been exalted to the very highest place. And here's the exciting bit. This is what it says in Ephesians, that we're seated there with him. We're seated there with him. And God raised us up. That's what we were celebrating when Lucy and Deli were baptized here a couple of weeks ago. Raised up and seated us with him in heavenly realms. Now, I don't fully grasp and understand what that really means, but I want to know more about what that means, the reality in our day-to-day living, yeah? I'm sure I'm not alone in that. So that's what we're celebrating and remembering on Ascension Day. And this time of prayer started in Ascension Day, and it's come through to today, Pentecost Sunday, when we celebrate that outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now, the verse I've been thinking about leading up to today, as we celebrate Pentecost together, is not so much about what happened that day, the amazing events. The thing that I've been pondering and thinking about is a verse that's kind of part of the lead up to it. And I want to look at it particularly in the light of the time that we've spent in prayer. Because what happened on Thursday was really interesting. A small group of us gathered. It was a Barney and Mel's home group. They were down here. And we sat down, and what I heard was, and I heard it from other people, I don't want this to finish. Now, I'm a bit exhausted, I have to say. You know, there's only so many 2 till 4 o'clock in the mornings that I can actually do, but there's something about this commitment, this connection, this investing in prayer that I think connects us with who and what we are created to be. And yet, sacrificial. Many of us had to make time and space to do this. But actually, it's just led us on into this sort of, so there's something about it, you know? And what happens at the end is that actually, we don't want this to end, because we've connected with what we're created for. And that is to live in communion, in connection with God. Does that make sense? Practically, it would be very difficult to continue this, but what of it can we take and apply to our lives individually and together as a church, so that we can continue with that sense of this is what we are for, we're made for, what we're about. I mean, that's a kind of conversation, but that's why I was thinking about this particular verse as we celebrate Pentecost today. Luke 24, 49. And this is what it says. It says, "And now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised." But this was the phrase that struck me. "But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven." Stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you or clothes you with power. I'm going to read it in the King James Version. Love this. "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you." The Holy Spirit was promised throughout the Old Testament. The promise of the Father, that's what the Holy Spirit is called in the Old Testament. "I'm going to send you the promise." But then it says, "But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Those of you who know me, and I think those of you who work closely with me, will know that I have a tendency sometimes to run ahead. An opportunity will come, or a good idea will come, and it's like I'm in the blocks, the gun goes, and I'm off. And what I've learned, no, that's not quite true. What I'm learning is how to manage this aspect of my character. It's positive, but it can be negative too. Ask my wife. And I'm blessed to have people around me who ask the difficult questions and help me to plan and prepare properly. And at times, hold me back. I just wonder if the disciples at this moment were a bit like me with a good idea or a new opportunity. Jesus had poured so much into them. He had shown them so much, given them so much, trusted so much in them. You know, in the days prior to this, he'd actually given them the greatest of commissions. Matthew 28, 18 and 19. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very ends of the age." Jesus is saying to his disciples, go! Go into the nations, baptize them, disciple them, go. But then he says in Luke 24, stay. Don't go. That's what he says. Go, but don't go. Wait. Wait here in Jerusalem. Or more accurately, don't go until you have received the long-awaited and God-promised Holy Spirit, the one who will give you power. Power. This word power in the Greek, it's actually an achieving power. A power that achieves something. Now, I want us to use our imagination. What happens if they had ignored it? What happens if the disciples had ignored what Jesus said and they had just gone rushing on into the mission? It's too much to do. We've got to save the world. It's in such a mess. I don't want to waste a moment. We haven't got time to wait around. The way the language is they knew it would have been a wait, but they wouldn't have known how long. Now, I'm guessing a little bit here, but I reckon they would have achieved a level of success. They would have achieved a level of success. Hard work and endeavour and human skill would have taken them so far. They would have built so much, but it would have always been limited by the level of their human ability and resources. They needed Pentecost. We need Pentecost. I was thinking about a testimony I heard by a lady called Heidi Baker. And her and her husband were called to Mozambique, where they ministered, I don't know for how many years, but it was a lot of years, 10, 15 years. They were there. And they, in that 10 years, planted two or three churches, developed a ministry to a number of orphans. And I don't know the detail, but it was limited. And 10 or 15 years in, they just came, and Heidi came to the end of her tether. She was physically unwell. And she tells this story. It was at the time when there was a move of God in Toronto, and she said, "I'm going to go." And so she went to Toronto and she was ill. And at Toronto, she had this amazing encounter with the Holy Spirit and a prophetic word spoken over her about the nation of Mozambique. And she had her own Pentecost. And then went back to Mozambique. This is a long story, cut very short. She went back to Mozambique. And there are thousands of churches. Thousands. They've seen regions converting from Islam to Christianity. They have seen, her and her husband have seen, the most incredible move of God in that nation. I've heard them speak many times. We met Roland one time, and these guys are the real deal. This isn't evangelistic. This is the real deal. But it came about from this personal Pentecost experience. We need Pentecost. I read this quote: "Let us not forget that as activity increases and we become successful in doing the work that must be accomplished, there is a danger of our trusting in human plans and methods. There will be a tendency to pray less and have less faith." We need Pentecost. We need Pentecost. We need it individually. We need our personal Pentecost. And we need it as a church. I know we have had Pentecost, and I'll come on to that in a few moments. Jesus says to the disciples, this is my paraphrase, "Don't even try and go forward without the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Don't even try. I want you to wait." So that is what they did. What does that waiting look like? What does their waiting look like? Well, just go back a chapter as you go forward. Back from Pentecost, forward from Luke. Acts 1. "Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer." They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Pentecost was preceded by prayer. Pentecost was preceded by prayer. Were the two linked? I don't know the answer to that question. But what I do know, and I do believe, is that today, fresh outpourings of the Holy Spirit are often linked to times of focused and persistent humble prayer. And I also know that the danger in going forward without that prayer, unified, focused, humble, waiting on him, there's a danger in going forward without that. And I think we've all experienced times of it. I certainly have. And it just leads to exhaustion and burnout. We need to go forward prayerfully. Those times when we lift our hearts and our minds and our hopes to him, when we stand and intercede for this world, when we, who are called by his name, will humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways, then what will happen? He will hear from heaven, forgive our sins, and heal our land. I think we've been doing quite a bit of that this week. We need Pentecost. We need Pentecost. That outpouring of the Holy Spirit. When we become Christians, I believe the Holy Spirit comes to live and dwell within us. We have like a little Pentecostal moment, a little Pentecost moment. That's what I believe. What I think is really important is that that is not the end. I don't think it's because we leak, though we do grieve the Holy Spirit. What I believe is that there is always more. More of him to know in our lives, and more of us to be surrendered to him. So it's like we have little, mini, personal Pentecost moments. I believe we have those moments in our church as well. And I think we should expect to see the Holy Spirit fall upon gatherings of people, because we read about it in the New Testament. Regularly, often in Acts. Apostle Paul says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we've said this often, which in the original kind of language and context and all kind of things, it means be filled and keep being filled. Be filled and keep being filled. Not so that you can have some kind of Christian fuzzy, warm and fuzzy, or some kind of Christian entertainment in this. This is not what it's about. Though there is often a physical manifestation when God touches us by the power of his Holy Spirit, because he's the God of this universe and he's drawing near to us. But that is not the case for everybody. I think it's really, really important that we recognise that God when he comes and touches people, it's different for different people. And it's important that we don't start looking over there and saying, oh, I'm not sure about that. Or we don't start looking over there and saying, I want that. Or, you know, it's about saying, I will concentrate on drawing near to God. I will not worry about what's happening over there or to the person to my right or to my left. I will simply come hungry and say, Lord, I need your Holy Spirit. I'll not worry about what's happening over there. I'll worry about what's happening in here. But it's not about us. I mean, it is about us. It is about us drawing near to him, but it's about what he pours into us, I believe, so that we can then pour in, pour out to others. We cannot go forward without that outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And that's why Jesus said, wait, don't try. Don't try. Receive, then go. And look what happened. Starting in Jerusalem, and then going on and going out to the very ends of the earth. And we're sat here today because of that outpouring of the Holy Spirit, yeah? We need Pentecost. We needed that Pentecost, and we need our personal Pentecost, personal outpouring of the Holy Spirit, day by day, week by week.